What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I won't name names. I would say, though, probably if the news was, you know, your star player was going to a foreign country to get his ex looked at, you know, I'd be more worried than if it were Germany. But at the same time, I don't think that's a good sign. If somebody's going to Germany to have an Achilles tendon looked at.
Listen, I have no reason to doubt the expertise of the German people, medically speaking.
No, me neither.
But it's definitely not good news.
What do they know that we don't
over
there about Achilles injuries? Is that a known thing? You got to go to Germany if you really want an expert opinion.
No.
They can't come here. It's the NFL. It's Christian McCaffrey. It's the NFL. Get him here. No, that's not going to work. Well, that doesn't sound good. Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Only guessing here, Eric, that you've never had to fly abroad to have an injury looked at.
I haven't. And the only thing I could think of, especially in this day and age of where you could, send MRIs, you could send x-rays, you could FaceTime with a doctor. The only thing I could think of is if it's some type of maybe treatment that is frowned upon in the U.S. or, banned in the U.S., which doesn't necessarily mean it's banned for sport. What comes to my mind would be stem cells, which are more regulated in the U.S. than over in Germany. So I would assume that's what's going on here, but I have no insider information on this situation.
Look at this guy. You spring McCaffrey going to Germany to get his Achilles tendonitis evaluated. And he's right here with stem cell treatments.
That's good.
Eric, you've really come into your own as a broadcaster.
Nothing,
it's really, really a great
There's
job.
Nothing you can't ask him.
You heard it here first, guys.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, wouldn't the flight time be like sort of contradict the benefits of going to, but not if they're doing certain treatments. I love it.
Oh. Yeah, because otherwise you could do anything. I mean, even if it was, manual therapy that you're receiving from a trainer over there, you would assume he would be able to FaceTime with someone in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's a much further flight, too, from San Francisco to Germany than it is from Buffalo to Germany. So
it's about as far as it can go, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Well, Eric, it was great being with you yesterday. We had our roundtable. We talked a lot about Trevor Lawrence. We might want to spend a minute on him before we're done, but let's talk about the other quarterback from this game last night. We've all seen many games by now that are kind of hard to believe with the combination of the athletic talent and then the control of the offense, and the numbers in the end are just, they wow you. This is certainly one of those games. I wonder how you would classify it as far as Allen's career has gone among his best.
Yeah, he was outstanding. I thought it was the perfect balance of taking some chances, taking what the defense gives you. I don't know that he hardly even got touched in the game. I think they got credit with one quarterback hit in the entire game. So he protected himself, which is a big criticism that everyone has of Josh Allen's style of play is, he has the wild plays, but, how long can he do it for if he doesn't protect himself? Well, he certainly protected himself last night as well. He did it with an injured hand, so he's not – he's protecting that hand. He's handing the ball off backhanded at times, so he doesn't have to use that left hand. But, I mean, he was just incredibly efficient. And, we said in the pregame, this is a Jags defense that has two rookies starting in their secondary, and they play the highest percentage of man-to-man defense. There's no way they can come into Orchard Park and play, 63% or around there, that percentage of man-to-man defense like they've done so far this season, and they did, and they got absolutely torched because of it, and they stayed stubborn with it. And Joe Brady, I thought, called an excellent game plan. Just really impressive all the way around, especially on that offensive side of the football.
I want to be careful with how I say this because it could be one of the stupidest things you've ever heard. But I wonder if anyone, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, anyone on the coaching staff or management level there is like, this hand injury is the best thing that's ever happened because he's got to be more careful because of that. And that maybe will be, and in the end, a good thing.
No, that's definitely not the stupidest thing I've ever heard, I promise. And there's, I don't know that they're sitting upstairs saying that, but maybe they think it coming out of this. You know, hopefully this thing heals up before long.
Right.
He's still, you know, favoring it. It almost looks like a dead hand out there at times, just not using it at all. Not sure the severity of the injury or anything, but yeah, I mean, he's being forced to play more from the pocket, to slide when he gets in space.
Right.
I mentioned it twice on the broadcast last night. There was two runs inside the 10 where he dove forward and then one he slid. And those are times where he's looking to get in the end zone. I mean, he's going to take on at least one defender. I mean, heck, he jumped over Buda Baker on the play that he injured his hand. I mean, he's going to take a chance there inside the 5-6 yard line. And both times he got down on the ground, which they didn't need it last night. And when you don't need it, it's not a playoff game.
Right.
Maybe that is the smartest decision in those instances.
I thought one thing that really stood out as somewhat different from a lot of his other spectacular games, statistically, athletically, was precision, Eric. The run after the catch, like the ball to Coleman, the ball to Kincaid, not the touchdown, although that was perfectly placed too, but the little longish one up the right sideline early in the game, the ball to Ty Johnson running to his left and just laying that right out there, Shakir's touchdown, like every ball was just... Nobody had to break stride. I mean, it's not like the guys weren't wide open. They were open, but he just put it right where you'd want to put it.
Yeah, so at the end of the season last year at the press conference, one of the things Brandon Bean said was, we got to get more big plays down the field, and that doesn't mean necessarily chuck it down the field. We need more yards after the catch. We haven't been able to find that, whether that's play calling, whether that's quarterback play, whether that's our personnel in the building at receiver, tight end, running back, whatever it may be. Well, through three games, they're, you know, 7-something yards after catch per reception, which puts them at least in the top third. I haven't seen the updated stats, but we were in the top third going into the last game. And so, you know, this is a positive direction. These are easy button throws at times for Josh Allen, automatic completions that are not very stressful on many guys out there on offense. And you're getting more production from those plays this year than we've seen traditionally. And a lot of that, I'll give credit where it's due, a lot of that scheme. And so, yes, it was a very efficient night, but there's times where, you know, like that Shakir touchdown. I mean, he throws a 5-yard drag route. Josh can do that in his sleep. Now he puts it in a perfect spot that he can keep running away from the man-to-man coverage and get into the end zone. But he makes a great play. Nice spin move. Goes through contact at the goal line. You know, these guys are making plays for him right now when they get the balls in their hand.
We've all, again, seen Allen play at this level. I think you'd agree that the offensive line is having a lot to do with this. Of course, it's going to be every part of it is humming right now. But as you've said, I think in our conversation already, such a clean game for him, especially with this injury, you want that. The offensive line through 3 weeks, Eric, so Morse leaves, maybe the most surprising of the big free agent departures, but the Bills, you know, move things around. McGovern, and then you have Edwards, Torrence back, and your tackles. Anything with your expertise that you're noticing or you're wanting to point out in this area?
I think the two tackles are playing incredible. And when you don't have to chip guys very often so you can get more guys out on routes, when those guys are protecting the edges, and the guys inside are doing fine as well, but those two tackles, I mean, Deion Dawkins is playing great. There's no surprise there. Spencer Brown, you know, he emerged last year. That's the reason why the Bills rewarded him with such a big contract. And he's one of – I think he may be the only tackle in the league to play, you know, a certain amount of snaps that has not given up a pressure this whole season. And so – through three games, which isn't easy to do in the NFL, especially, like I mentioned, when you're just leaving them on islands over and over out there at tackle. He did have one hold, so he didn't allow a hit or a pressure on that play when he was holding. So, I'll give credit where it's due. Those two tackles are playing great. And you can find them on social media. You can find it on X, where they'll make little cut-ups of Alec Anderson when he comes in as that sixth offensive lineman. That's worth your time if you go watch it. I mean, that guy comes in and finishes and plays with some serious attitude out there.
Well, and how cool was it? Speaking of giving credit where credit is due, Joe Brady was in the bag last night, man. That's not the right way to put it. In his bag. Now, in the bag means something very different.
Sorry. Yes.
In his bag of tricks last night. Speaking of Anderson, right? The Coleman touchdown is, Anderson's on the field, so it looks like, oh, there's going to be a run play. Coleman, and there's two receivers in the pattern. They crisscross, and there's Coleman. I think Brady has had a very good start to the season, and that was one example where I think, Jacksonville certainly would have been right to be expecting something else than what they ended up getting.
I agree 100%. And, through the first 2 weeks, it was very run-heavy. Josh Allen talked about it after the game, that they were going to come in with a more of a passing game plan based upon the personnel and scheme of the Jaguars. And I mean, if that's a tight game, Josh probably goes for over 400. His stats are, he doesn't even get the 300 yards passing because they barely had to throw the ball the entire second half. But yeah, I thought Joe Brady's done an excellent job. I mean, whether it's his confidence in Josh Allen at this stage of the career, the offensive line, the skill guys, whatever it is, I credit a lot of it to his confidence in Joe Brady, which is probably built up throughout the week in conversations they're having with what they're going to run on fourth downs. I mean, Sean McDermott's not even thinking at these, fourth and two, three, four around midfield. And that used to be a thing where we'd sit here on Mondays and question a lot of those. Mm-hmm. And now, he's just saying, go. I trust you guys. I mean, I trust that we have the calls to make it in these situations. And I mean, the fourth and three in Miami that goes for a touchdown is wide open to James Cook. The fourth and three last night on the opening possession to Shakir is wide open again. Just incredible man beaters. They're so much fun to watch from the booth.
With Eric Wood, you mentioned things we've talked about in the past. I think Bulldog would agree if I say the tone of the conversation about this Bills season before it started was a little bit ominous, with Diggs being traded and the other guys who have left, the dead cap money, questions about them that hadn't existed. How, not knowing exactly how you felt, on the overall before it started, but then versus now, three games, and you want to factor in other teams maybe with Miami's struggles and the Bengals being 0-3 even, however far you want to take it. How different would your outlook be for this season than it was a month ago?
Yeah, there's some surprises out there. I would assume the Bengals wouldn't have been sitting at 0-3. Kansas City's played three tight games. They're sitting at 3-0. So are the Bills. The Steelers would have been a mega surprise, especially because I thought they were going to start Russell Wilson. But they're sitting at 3-0 as well. There's a lot going on right now, and it's just, this early in the season, you could play the who's the best, who's really good, because the Bills play the Cardinals tight, so does that make the Cardinals really good or the Bills not that great? Okay, well, the Rams take the Detroit to overtime. Okay, and then Arizona beats the Rams. Okay, now who's good and who's
right.
bad in that situation?
Right.
Or are the Bills really, really good? And so it's hard to tell at this point of the season, but when you look at this Bills team heading into the season, there were so many people outside looking in. And look, we cover the team on a day-to-day basis. We understood where the Bills were getting to. We could see towards the end of the season wasn't getting the same separation or production. We see, the national media sees these big plays that Gabe Davis was making for the Bills, but there was multiple games a year where he's held without a catch. And it's tough to have your number two receiver that can't necessarily separate in certain situations and, can't really rely on it to be productive on a week-in, week-out basis. And so I wasn't that liked the Curtis Samuel pickup in the offseason. I was excited for Keon Coleman because Josh Allen and Brandon Bean trusted that. And, Brandon Bean's been pretty good at evaluating talent in the draft. And, defensively, there was going to be some new names. I assumed they'd start off the season a little bit slower. I'll fully admit I was worried going down to Miami, but this Bills defense has pleasantly surprised me, but also I guess I probably shouldn't have been as surprised just the way that the Bills have been able to plug and play on defense in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the optics of two UB guys meeting at the quarterback in an NFL game, in just tremendous. Ingram and Lewis. And Dreesen got on the field for a few plays, too, made a couple tackles late in the game. The thing for me here through 3 weeks, I mean, I know it's really early, but Eric, for me anyway, I was hopeful about the division still and a playoff spot, of course, that goes along with that. But I was not thinking about the one seed. But sitting here with Baltimore off to a 1-2 start, I mean, big game in Baltimore this week, obviously. But the Bengals being where they're at and how the Bills look, like I'm back 3 weeks. It only took 3 weeks, and I'm thinking about the one seed again.
I'm fully with you. And it's such a long season, you know. We're sitting here at 3-0. We got a really tough stretch of games coming up. Could the Bills win all three of these next three AFC games on the road? Of course. You know, can we manage our expectations if, you know, over these next three games we go, you know, 1-2 or, mm-hmm. you know, 2-1? You know, it's just such a long year. You got to keep getting better and better as the year goes on. But there is plenty to be excited about right now. And to your point, with, you know, the Ravens dropping too early, Cincinnati already dropping three, you know, you can write it off, but, you know, it's early in the season, but we've seen those early season losses come back to haunt the Bills for playoff seeding in the past as well.
Minor story, given the outcome of the game and the extent of the win, the route. Keon Coleman, disciplined for being late, eventually does get in the end zone himself anyway. Were you ever disciplined? I mean, you're a guy, I think, that comes off like you never did anything wrong, you know, with the Bills. Any kind of disciplinary that we should know about? Time has passed, and maybe now you're willing to talk about this one time or 10 that, you know, you might have misstepped.
No, and the one time I should have been fined, and I missed a couple meetings because I overslept so bad. We played the Saints at home my rookie year, and we got trounced. They had a really good team. They won the Super Bowl that year, and I played that game with the flu. That's when swine flu was going around. Not sure if that's what it was. But I was heavily medicated for the game, and they gave me a lot to go to sleep that night. And I fell asleep without setting my alarm. And I woke up in the morning. I walked in like a zombie, went straight to Dick Duron's office and apologized. And they let that one slide based upon the fact that what I went through to play in the game the previous day and understanding that I was – ill anyways. But that was the one time I overslept. I've never driven faster down Southwestern trying to get to the stadium, and it's one of those instances I'm like, I'm 45 minutes late. I guess it really doesn't matter if I'm 42 or 48 minutes late,
right,
but regardless,
right.
I feel like I need to be speeding right now. But you know, in this instance with Keon Coleman, I see what Sean's trying to do, and you know, he mentions it in the media. He could have just said, you know, it's disciplinary, probably best that he said it was being late, because if he just said disciplinary, yeah, we might have come to other conclusions. You know, Sean's got a pretty high standard, and guys, you know, I almost felt like, you know, if our first meeting was at 8 o'clock, when Sean got there, I almost felt like if I wasn't in the building by 6:30, I was late. So if you're late, you're really pushing it. Like, Sean wants you to get in there, get a workout in, get breakfast and all that before that first meeting. So I'm assuming he wanted to nip it in the bud early, you know, make a statement with Keon, and then, you know, hopefully it'll never be an issue again, which I'd imagine it won't be.
I forget the player's name, but do you happen to remember a story about a Patriots player who was already late and he intentionally hit a car so that he could claim car accident is why he was late? He was parked.
Was it? No, the first name that's coming to my mind is Alan Branch, but I don't think it was him.
No, more obscure. But the guy's like, I might as well do this. So he just sort of not aggressively backed into a truck or something and had to have there be enough damage where it would be respected that like this really was an accident, not just a nick.
Wow.
And the offensive line coach was famous. I think it was an offensive lineman. And he said, just don't do it again.
Gotcha. Yeah, Dante Scarnecchia probably was the one. Is the offensive line coach. I will say this: the fines are so much in the NFL because, you know, when this was 7 years ago, I'm sure it's more now. I think it was like $5,000 if you were 1 second late, and that's not per second. So if you miss any part of the meeting, it's like $5,000. Okay. Well, our first meeting might be a special teams meeting that's only 10 minutes. So if you're 11 minutes late, now you missed that second meeting, and now it's 10 grand, and that might be a shorter team meeting. So if you're 30 minutes late, you might miss three meetings, part of three meetings, and they can truly get you for 15 grand, I'm sure, with a first time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Offender, they're not going to get you for all of them, but it's expensive. So if you only did a few $1,000 worth of damage and he got off the hook, it might have been worth his while.
They might have. The player who had since retired told the story on Boston radio, so it's out there. I just don't remember his name. Very good. Eric, enjoy your week, and we will talk next Monday after Bills-Ravens.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right, it's our man Eric Wood. His appearances weekly here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
Da-da-da. Rich Ornberger.
Oh, that's the player?
Yeah. Told the story a couple years ago. Rich Ornberger. Got into a car crash on purpose.
I assume this is Belichick's.
Yes.
Right.
He was afraid of being cut. He intentionally rear-ended a van because he was already late for practice.
Poor people in the van.
There it is.
Now they've got an accident to deal with just because this guy doesn't want to get fined.
Yeah, right. Think about the other people. Think about the other guy.
Yeah.
Put, if you want to, Josh Allen's evening into some perspective. What was it like in person, on TV, for you? And how about your feelings about this season versus how you felt before it started? I mean, things are going pretty much perfectly. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this timeout here on WGR.
We all know my last start on Monday Night Football and how that game went. So to be able to come all the way back from that and to have a special moment like that, you know, it's all God right there, you know. So I've been giving him the praise like crazy lately, you know, because it wasn't easy. I'm super thankful to my teammates for just the support and the love, you know, that it was encouraging. And it makes all the emotions way easier when you just go out there and you think about, I just want to make plays for my teammates. It makes it all simple again.
Damar Hamlin, gotta love it. My cousin, Andy, who lives in the Boston area, texted me this morning to say a couple things. One, that he won his parlay. And two, that...
very happy for Andy.
He saw a post-game interview with Hamlin, and Hamlin was shirtless. And he asked me if that's a Buffalo thing. Like, maybe we're, you know, rowdy fans, and we'll take our shirts off if they'll let us.
I don't know what's going on there. Von Miller is the first Bills player recently. I mean, I'm not going to claim to remember all of history here, but this season I have noticed Von Miller a couple of times post-game, you know, not during the week or anything, but after the game, shirtless at the podium. So maybe it's a defensive player thing, maybe it's nothing. I don't know, but Hamlin's not the first shirtless Bills player.
Okay.
I don't know.
And he won't be the last?
I'm going to guess no.
Maybe it's a thing.
Deion Dawkins has been shirtless, I don't think, in an interview setting. Well, post-game podium thing. He did some podcast where he was, like, naked. I remember, like, you know, shirtless anyway, over the summer. So, yeah, I don't know what – I don't know if that has been brought up or questioned at all, but Von Miller's the – to me, the first shirtless Bills player I've seen post-game setting.
Okay.
Like that. Not – again, not in the locker room, you know, at the podium area. I mean, a lot of guys we've seen over the years, no shirt on in the locker room. That makes sense. But coming out there, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
All right. Might have found something.
Or nothing. We might have found nothing.
He might have picked up on something that I certainly had not even known about. Here's Mike with us next. Hello, Mike.
Hi, guys. I just want to start off, and Bulldog, you'll know what I mean by this. I've never seen a Buffalo Bills game presented from a fan viewing perspective in such a great way. I mean, you had NBA former stars in the building. LeBron James is tweeting out about Allen, and then they do the Von Miller pre-run out of the tunnel interview, which was it was just really cool. So I felt like, I don't know if it was ESPN or the Bills, but great job presenting.
Well, yeah, and you left out, they even showed on ESPN, they showed the entire, well, at least what I think would have been the entirety of John Fina's end zone, you know, right here, right now, you know, let's go Buffalo, all that stuff. Like, that was on the broadcast too, which was really cool, I thought. And the Miller interview, for as mostly a throwaway as I treat all of that stuff as, I don't know that I've ever seen one conducted with a player standing in that tunnel waiting to be announced. They even a Bills, someone in PR or media relations or game presentation, whatever, had to come over, sort of tap him like, you're next. And they wrapped up the interview and he put his helmet on and went over there, and then they showed him run out the tunnel and the smoke and everything. It was a really good job.
He did already have his jersey on, though. This is not another shirtless interview.
He was fully uniformed.
Jersey on. Yep. So they did an amazing job. And then just to kind of give you guys like a vibe check, to me, this team feels familiar to the 2020 Bills, where they're almost sort of surprising everyone with how good they are. And it's awesome. I mean, I could go on and on. It was just a magical night to watch football in Buffalo.
So. Thanks, Mike. Altidore was there, I heard. Also, the soccer.
Oh, I don't know. Soccer. I don't know. I might have just gotten in time to catch the Fina thing and then
I saw Steve Tasker.
Yeah.
I saw Steve. I saw Ross Tucker.
He's around all the time.
Steve. I saw.
Not that it's not special.
John Murphy.
Oh, nice.
I saw Alan Davis. I saw a few people that you would know. Yeah. But I don't remember seeing Altidore.
I'm glad the caller mentioned the broadcast. Usually the only time the broadcast gets mentioned is if it's terrible or something, you know, something's wrong. So I liked last night a lot. Chris Fowler is excellent. And Riddick, I especially like Orlovsky. Riddick he often makes very good points, but sometimes I'm sure I annoy plenty of you. But the whole thing together, Orlovsky and Riddick, I think, complement one another really well. Like, I'm not down. I like Buck and Aikman more than certainly more than you, maybe more than the average person. So I was a little disappointed not to get Buck and Aikman. They're to me still one of the gold standard crews. But last night's telecast was fantastic.
You'll get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman in 3 weeks,
right?
I'm not a big fan of any of these guys, but what I like about Fowler, since we're doing compliments, is that game is out of hand and he's hosting a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these broadcasts could do well to turn them into a talk show, especially if you have interesting analysts, but it's just too much in a box. This game is the kind of game he wanted perspective on the Bills. He was asking this question I just asked, you know, like, what is this then? This team, look at him. Also, Jacksonville, what are we doing? They put the graphic up on Lawrence, 0-8 and the turnovers and just how bad his career is going, how badly. So I think that, not that I'm like the authority on this, but I think that's more interesting to me as a viewer, as a listener,
right?
If you're just not going to do play-by-play alone when the game is a rout. And that's the kind of thing. You want the perspective. And I'll say, too, the Jaden Daniels touchdown pass to McLaurin to cap the night. I watched it with my son this morning. You got to see this. You got to see this throw and catch. And Joe Buck is great on that. That's like the big game announcer called. His voice goes up a little bit more when he really can't believe it.
Right.
And he does that on that McClure.
That touchdown. Came across on that play for sure. Yes.
Yeah. How about that kid, Daniels?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
The Jaguars have this many road wins ever on Monday Night Football.
Zero?
One. 1999. Their first ever road Monday Night game at the Jets. They're 1-4 only.
Okay.
But they have one Monday Night road win in their history. All the time we spent on Lawrence, really good discussion on, you were talking about, what is this guy really about as a player? And Eric, you know, what he wants to see, that he's, leadership stuff came up. No answers, just more questions.
No.
It got worse.
Yeah, it definitely got worse. I mean, that I said it during the game last night, said it earlier, like that's the kind of performance that someone gets fired over. And so I don't know, it's 4:40 now, not 3:02 when I first stumbled into this point.
They might have to win Sunday at Houston.
They look like they're in real, real trouble. Because to have – and I'm going all the way back. Like I'm not covering the Jaguars, obviously, need to be said. But the way they lost last week, Peterson to me sounded just resigned to, I don't know, you know, it's tough right now. He just did not sound like any kind of fierce, we got to dig out of this kind of thing, which, you know, that can go over pretty, you know, not great when a team is in the situation that they're in. But it just, the whole thing just feels to me like, yeah, we know we don't have it. That's what they feel like to me. We know we don't have it. That's what Lawrence looks like. That's what the coach sounds like. They've got no answers on defense. Right. They didn't just stay in man. They tried. Allen, they shifted to zone at some point because ESPN's stats during the game had Allen like 8 of 9 for 126 yards against zone defense. It's like whatever they did, just they had no answers. Like you come into a game, we do this. This is what we do. Oh, that's not working. Oh, let's pivot to the thing we don't do. Great. Good luck with that. That's what last night looked like. Like the thing we do best isn't going to work. Injuries, the talent on the other side. So we got to do this other thing, and we're probably not really all that well prepared to do the other thing.
They're down two starters in the secondary. They lose Olawokan in the middle of the game. Like he's a tackling machine. That probably didn't help. And they lost a backup earlier than that who went to the tunnel after he had a big hit, maybe on Cook on a run stop. But, you know, no Bills fan would sympathize.
No.
Because how many guys on defense
I've got a secondary full of UB guys out there, and hey, I'm just killing
horns
people.
Up.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't want to hear any sympathy about Jacksonville's in tough with injuries.
Doug Peterson, I said to friends in the suite last night at halftime, like he might have 30 minutes to live. It's 37 games, and he's had two 9-8 seasons, and he's won a Super Bowl. So, I guess he's going to coach this week. But this is when you do that, early in a season.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not taking Lawrence out. Look what Carolina did. It's the time of year where you want to do something and not just succumb to, well, this is how this year is going. This is the Dolphins right now, too. Like, what are they going to do about their situation? Nothing? Or are they going to figure out a way to somebody that gives them more credibility? They probably have an idea when Tua, if maybe he's back by week 6. But if he's not, and they kind of know that, what are they going to do? Oh, you know, tough racket. We had an injury and we lost.
Yeah.
You can't really do that this early. September, you have time. So good for Carolina, right? And look, just worlds different immediately. And so Jacksonville doesn't have that option with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's their commitment.
Right, yeah. Young's only in his second year. He hasn't been paid yet. Lawrence just got the big contract this offseason. Like, they are hitched to him for the foreseeable future. And to me, it's very evident the coach-quarterback thing is not jiving there. So, you know.
I just hate for them that they didn't throw the ball down the field as often. Like that first half was totally getting away from them, and it was still just everything so short. And this is where I want to feel like my guy gives me a chance because he's got the arm talent. And we've got a first-round pick at wide receiver, Kirk Davis. Like, we've got players. and they just don't. And that to me would be, that's like the worst.
Yep.
You know, there have been Bills moments like that. Why are we not even trying to win this game? It's the second quarter. It's week three. Are we done? They were done.
Yep.
And you can get beat. There are better teams than you, but it should never look like that. And that's why I want to be a little bit more cautious with what the Bills really have. Because I think they could not have had a cushier opponent. And Miami, who they've owned, is kind of the same right now. Although that much of that game was before the Tua injury. Really interesting. What can't be said about their season if they win in Baltimore? Win it all. They're an underdog.
Right.
If they win Sunday night, to the moon, right? I mean, that's how we're... I need that first.
Sure, I get you. I think right now they look like the best team in the league, but that, you know, that changes week to week. But I think they look like the best team in the league. The caliber of their wins, again, you don't know. Like we were talking with Eric Wood, right? Well, Arizona did this, and they beat them, and they, so you know, you can get lost in the weeds in that stuff all you want. So yeah, I don't know. Like Jacksonville might be circling the drain, and if they fire their coach this week or after they lose to Houston or whatever it is, then you know that's not going to be as impressive. You know, Miami. Again, you just said it. That was largely with Tua in the game, and they could not do anything. I mean, they got blown out in that game while he was trying to save them, and he just couldn't. So even more credit there than maybe last night. But tell me who looks better than them right now. You know, again, 3 weeks, I know, but I don't think there's a better-looking team in the league right now.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Ross Tucker in 20 minutes. This is WGR. Tuesday. It's hurting me that I wasn't here yesterday.
Sure, I get that.
Tuesday. Ross Tucker.
You weren't here. To the audience, you were here. You just weren't in here.
Right.
With me. You were here on the air.
It was more like a Sunday.
Right.
Ross Tucker is Tuesday. The Deep End tonight, 8:30.
Oh, I'll be there.
YouTube player profiler, yep. Me and Adam Krautwurst. There's lots to talk about.
Good.
Whether we want to be starting the likes of Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith and Derek Carr over Anthony Richardson, Patrick Mahomes, until last night, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. I mean, it is wild this year at that position. Two quarterbacks only through 3 weeks, we're now fully through 3 weeks, have had games of 300 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. Do you know who they are? 303.
Ooh.
Two guys.
Well, Tua threw for 300 in week one, but I don't know that he had 3 touchdowns.
He did not. It's not him.
Oh, Joe Burrow won?
Joe Burrow last night.
Right, in a loss. Thanks for coming.
And the team he plays this week. The quarterback of the team he plays this week did it on Sunday.
Who do they play this week?
Dalton.
Oh, Andy Dalton. That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Mahomes has one game of 21 or more fantasy points in his last 16. Is that even good?
No, it's terrible.
Let's go to Owen here. Hi, Owen.
One of those was the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, I'm not counting those.
Okay.
Hi, Owen.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, of course. Happy Victory Tuesday, gentlemen. So I just want to be, you know, one of the many to say, I'm here to sign the Sean McDermott apology form because I can't say I was a believer after the playoff losses, but man, has he proved me so wrong. Him, Babich, and Brady have been running a perfect show, and I am nothing but pleased. My question to you guys though was, what teams? I mean, it seems like we're the kings of the hill here. You know, we're the team to beat. What teams are we still worried about?
Well, I mean, it's too early for me to exclude most teams. It's more the other way for me. I would say the Jets definitely are to be respected. They lost in San Francisco. Is that even bad? Like, they're all right now. Of course, Kansas City. Of course, the Ravens, even though they have 2 losses. Maybe even the Bengals. It's still too early. I don't know about the Dolphins. Like, I was never in on them.
Yeah, I was. My bet with you that they're going to win more games than the Jets is taking quite a hit with Tua. Being out, I'm going to lose that one. I would say the Bengals could recover. But I don't know. I'm inclined to not feel worried about them. Kansas City for sure. I would still put Houston on that list. although they're going to have to – that's a huge game, I mean, you know, for, with the Bills. Can they punch in that weight class, I think, is a question I've had all summer. And, you know, we haven't really seen it. So that doesn't mean they can't do it. So I'd say right now I'd put them on the list. But it's not – it's not a long, as long a list as it was. I respect the Jets. Am I worried about the Jets?
I'm not taking a question out loud, which is, we're the Bills. Who are we even worried about in a world where people in Kansas City exist and could actually hear someone say, not the Chiefs?
Yeah.
You know what? Not until the Bills go farther than the Chiefs in the playoffs. Then I will not be worried about them. At that time, and not before, will I want to dismiss the Kansas City
Chiefs. I think
that's
prudent, and I still agree with you on the Ravens. I think the Ravens are still going to be heard from.
Favorites Sunday night.
Going to see them Sunday night. So, yeah, this next stretch, I mean, right? I'm not as high on the Jets as you, but the next three, all on the road, two of the three in primetime are three of the teams that have come up here in the who are you worried about segment, okay?
Sure.
You've got Baltimore, Houston, and the Jets. So have some fun.
Houston has Jacksonville this week. Ross Tucker next on WGR.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.